Those of you who have your Bibles, I want to invite your attention to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, 30th chapter, and I want to read verses 1 through 8. All of my Facebookers, go ahead and get on Facebook, tell them. Worship is taking place at the Fork. It's Spirit Sunday. Amen. If you don't have your Bible, you can see it on the screen. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negeb and on Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it down, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David said to the priest Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake it? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. It is at that B portion of verse 6 that says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. King James Version said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Encourage yourself. Church, one of the greatest assets you can possess is the ability or the gift of encouragement. The ability or gift is one that will be of great benefit to you because on this journey of life, you will be put in a position. You will be put in a posture where someone you meet will need to be encouraged. For the Bible speaks about the need of encouragement in Isaiah 50:4, where the eagle-eyed prophet declared, the Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Yeah. The ability to sustain the weary with a word is an act of encouragement. To pick up those who life has knocked down. To push those who've lost their momentum. To propel those who are going in the wrong direction. The gift of encouragement is one that is desperately needed in the world today. Yes, sir. You'll be surprised at how a word of encouragement can make the difference in somebody's day. When you speak a word of encouragement, you see, the gift of encouragement is the ability to inspire someone. to tap into the courage they have within.
Yes, sir.
It is the gift to inspire, to lift up the lowly spirits of those who, for whatever the circumstance, has lost their pep and passion to press their way or to think positively. John Maxwell says, remember, man does not live on bread alone. Sometimes he needs a little buttering up. Johann Goff says, correction does much, but encouragement does more. You see, it's easy to provide correction, and correction is a good thing, but if you can encourage me, then you can correct me.
Yes, sir.
But if you correct me without encouragement, my thoughts will be that you're out to hurt me.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest detriments to overcome in any relationship is when one person feels like the other is not in their corner.
Yeah.
William Ward puts it this way. He says, flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I'll never forget you. One of the most precious benefits of possessing this great gift of encouragement is that there will come a time in life when you need to be able to encourage yourself. When life knocks you down, when the fire of your passion is out, when frustration and failure come to double-team you to bring about discouragement, there are times when you can't be depended on someone else to pick you up or to inspire you or push you or propel you. How many of you know you need to pick yourself up? Encourage yourself. You need to be like the little engine, the little red engine that thought he could. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
He kept on pressing his way. I think I can. I think I can.
Yes.
Then it got to, I know I can. I know I can. You got to talk to yourself.
Yes.
You got to be like the turtle when he was racing with the rabbit.
Uh-huh.
Despite the fact that he didn't possess rabbit speed,
yes,
he had the confidence to believe in itself, and instead of not competing, the turtle encouraged himself, got in the race, and the turtle was so slow, he put the slow motion on the rabbit. Don't you ever doubt slow motion. I believe the pointer sister said, I want a man with a slow, I know y'all wasn't. Y'all wasn't saved like y'all think y'all saved. Slow hand. He put the rabbit to sleep, but he kept on moving until he crossed the finish line. You see, what the turtle teaches us that in order to win the race of life and in order to overcome any barrier that you're up against, how many of you know you can't talk yourself out of not getting in the race? You got to first get in it to win it. Somebody say, get in it.
Get in.
To win it.
To win it.
Too often we talk ourselves out of applying for jobs. Talk ourselves out of going back to school. Talk ourselves out of pursuing our dreams. You talk yourself out of trying before you even try.
Yes, sir.
One thing that is for sure is that you'll never win it if you don't get in it. And so, church, we witness in our text a model of one of the greatest encouragers in the Bible, David. In this 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, David finds himself in a place that he is not used to being in. He finds himself on the outside of favor. David is experiencing one defeat after another. He's running into one obstacle behind obstacle. David was used to winning. He was accustomed to having things go his way, but he has hit a season of adversity. Nothing is going right for David. Nothing is going his way. Saul the king has an army after him, and David tried to get his army to link up with the Philistine soldiers so that he could fight against Saul, but the Philistine soldiers told him, "No way, David, we don't want no parts of you." And at the time of the text, David and his army rejected, turned down. They're on their way back home. One defeat after another defeat. David said, "Boys, let's take it to the house. Things ain't going our way." And when they get home to Ziklag, only to discover that their home is destroyed. And not only that, their families had been kidnapped. And the Bible makes it clear that the kidnappers didn't kill anybody, but they just carried them away. Church, it's an awful predicament to be in when you have something precious that's still alive, but you can't get to it. Because it's gone. Amen. The Bible tells us that the pain, their reality was as such that David and the men wept until they had no more strength to weep. They cried until tears would not fall. The adversity of life can be as such that you can cry until you can't cry no more. There comes a time, church, when you gotta quit crying and you gotta make a decision concerning the matter. Crying is only beneficial for a moment, and after that, crying becomes detrimental. How many of you know you gotta make up your mind and say, like Mary, "I cried my last tear yesterday." We see in our text the difference between those who move forward versus those who retreat in the midst of trouble. After they couldn't cry no more, the men began to blame David, and they wanted to stone him. When faced with the adversity of life, you got two options. You can allow adversity to make you bitter, or you can allow it to make you better. The men were so consumed by their pain, they decided it was David's fault. Isn't it amazing how folk will look for somebody to blame? For their own trouble, even the people that helped you, the people who brought you through, who gave you when you didn't have nothing, and in the end, you're going to turn around. Have the audacity to tell them, "It's your fault. I'm in the predicament I'm in." But instead of getting bitter, David decided to turn his pain into power. David He decided and he understood that when adversity comes, that adversity comes with a threefold attack. The first thing adversity brings is division. David and the men who were with him are now on opposite side. And he's got to face it alone. The men who were with him yesterday, ready to kill him today. Adversity not only brings division, but it also brings defeat. David, who is accustomed to winning, is now losing. And this attack has shaken his confidence. And then the third thing that adversity brings is discouragement. He's got to fight for his courage to move forward. You see, destruction, watch this. Destruction occurs when distraction and discouragement meets together. When you allow distraction and discouragement to join forces in your life, it'll bring about destruction. And this is where so many of God's children find themselves. They've lost their courage. They've lost the ability to press their way. They have allowed themselves to become distracted by life. And now they're on a different route that's leading them to destruction versus staying on the road to their divine destination. Find yourself divided, defeated, and discouraged. But church, let me tell you, David didn't get here by accident. What you will discover is that David got here because of David. David quit doing the things that caused him to be successful. And the first and foremost thing was that David stopped being close with God. David took God for granted. He always felt that he would always have victory because God was on his side. Yes. David took God for granted. He must have heard that God said he was a man after his own heart. And he started reading and believing his own press. And so David started believing that the victories was because he was so great and grand. How many of you know when you think you all that and a bag of potato chips? God will turn you into a sardine can. And church, because David thought it was because of him, God moved back out of his life. Church, when God moves back, that's when the devil steps in. When God moves back, that's when sickness will move in. That's when defeat will move in. That's when setback will move in. Worrying and depression will move in. When God moves out, that's when trouble moves in. But one thing I love about David, that David was a man who took responsibility for his own mistakes. He didn't point the finger. He didn't get mad with God. He got himself in it. He was going to do what it took to get himself out of it. And with everything being against him, David, the Bible says, strengthened himself or encouraged himself, not in himself, but in the Lord. And I believe that David did three things that helped him in the encouragement process. Y'all want to hear him? The first thing David did was return. Somebody say return. David returned back to the Lord. He returned back to the source of his power. David could no longer strengthen or encourage himself in himself or in his money, his prestige, his title, or position. He had to be strengthened in the Lord. He had to go back to where his bread was buttered. Church, that's what I love about being in fellowship with God. God always leaves the door open for us to return home. No matter how far you go, you can go back. God will allow you to return. How many of you know all you got to do is just repent? Tell the Lord you're sorry. Tell the Lord you messed up. Tell the Lord you blew it. You might not find forgiveness with people, but you can always find forgiveness with God. God will forgive you and God will forget, but you got to first return. And then the strengthening or the encouragement process, you got to go back. Look to the hills from where your help comes from. How many of you know all of our help comes from the Lord? Somebody say return. The next thing David did was he realigned. Somebody say realigned. The next step in the encouraging process is after you return, you got to get realigned. The technique of encouraging yourself in the Lord is the mental, emotional, and spiritual discipline of taking charge of your thoughts and intentionally bringing them in line with the power, promises, and presence of the Lord. In the realignment process, you got to talk to yourself. You got to tell yourself that I'm blessed despite my circumstance. You got to tell yourself you're the head and not the tail. You got to tell yourself, you got to talk to yourself. You got to call yourself who God calls you. This you gotta speak to yourself when your circumstances are not in line with what God has promised you. You gotta tell yourself, this is not God's best for me. This is not God working for me. His plan is for my life to have a successful end, a hopeful end, not a dead end. Not a defeated end. You got to talk to yourself. Because when you realign yourself, you remember when things were all right with God. You see, David realigned himself. David remembered when God was his deliverer. He looked back over his journey. And he remembered how when he was in the fields as a shepherd boy, how God delivered him from bears, lions, and he remembered when he fought Goliath, how the Lord brought him through. And when David looked back and started thinking about how good God was to him, David started talking to himself. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? David talked to himself. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He began to talk to himself. He said, the Lord is a present help in times of trouble. He's a mighty fortress. He's my shield and my buckler. David began to look back and remember, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, don't know where I'd be. And then David wiped the tears from his eyes and said, weeping may endure for a night, but good God Almighty, joy comes in the morning. David encouraged himself with the word of God. And church, when life has your back against the wall, all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. Then you got to encourage yourself. You got to speak God's promise over your life. You got to speak God's goodness over your life. On your job, when you're having a rough day, how many of you know you got to steal away sometimes? Go to the bathroom and take a praise break and say, I'll bless the Lord at all times. In your car, you got to have church. Turn your worries into worship. While you're driving on the highway, how many of you know you can praise God and talk about his goodness? Thank you, God, for all you've done for me. Turn your headaches into hymns and just praise God and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound when you get by yourself. How many of you know when you get alone with God and talk to God, something happens in the atmosphere? What looked like a bad day turns into a good day because God is working. And how many of you know God has fixed you for the fight? The fight that you're up against, God has already put in you what you need to fight that battle. And so you got to get realigned with God. You got to line up with his word, line up with his promise. And then finally, after you return, and after you get realigned, the third thing you got to do is get ready to receive. Somebody say receive.
Receive.
You see, you got to be able to receive the direction God has for your life. Well, David called the priests and he put on the praying garment called the ephod. In other words, instead of going off on his own, and instead of trying to find advice from other people, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and he got directions from God when he prayed. David prayed to receive. He prayed not only for directions, but he also prayed to receive his victory. God told David to pursue, overtake, and rescue. In other words, God told David, I want you to go and take your stuff back. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God is saying, get ready to go get your stuff back. God, go back and get your power. Go back and get your child. Go back, save your marriage. Go back and get your good name. Go back and get your health. Go back and get your courage. Go back and get your passion. Go back and get your worship. Get your praise back. Whatever you need, pursue, overtake it, and take it back. Encourage yourself. Get up and go. God says it's yours for the taking. I shall restore all that you lost. Go back. Not only go back, but I want you to go back so you can make a comeback. You see, when you go and when you come back, the way you left, you're not going to be the same. When you come back, you see you're going to come back with power. You're going to come back with joy. You're going to come back with peace. You're going to come back greater, greater, greater than you were before you left. But you got to be bold to pursue, because God has your